This is Digital Story Podcast number 797, June 29th, 2021. Today's theme is A Workshop for Everyone. I'm Derek Story. One of the biggest challenges we've had over the years is finding a way that every person who wanted to attend a workshop could. We may have reached that point. On this week's show, I'm going to outline our events for the next 12 months. We have a mix of online and physical events and a good variety of topics as well. Hopefully good enough to have you join us and spend some time with others from our community. I hope you enjoy the show. So if you visit the TDS workshop page, you're going to see all sorts of stuff that you didn't see last time you were there, because we have been working on lining things up, and it's really fun. I got some great stuff for you. So first of all, where is that? Okay, so if you just go to thenimblephotographer.com, click on workshops, you'll see it. If you go to thedigitalstory.com, click on workshops in the top nav bar, you'll see it. And if you click on the TDS workshops tile that's in the right column of the Digital Story, it too will take you to the same place. So now everything goes to one place, one workshop page where we have all of our events really for the next 12 months there for you to peruse, for you to sign up for, to do all the things that one would want to do on a workshop page. So not only has the page itself changed, but our approach to workshops has changed as well. Prior to 2020, our workshops were in person. They were physical workshops. And of course they were, because that's the way you did workshops, right? You all got together somewhere. You had a great time. You took pictures. You worked on them. You shared them. You broke bread together. You know, it's great. And really, there's nothing that can replace that. And those are coming back. Yay. However, during 2020, we had to take a hiatus on that kind of gathering, because it just didn't work out given all the things that were going on. So we had to develop something a little different that did work during 2020. And that's when I came up with the online workshop series. Now, I had a few things that were very important to me, you know, for the online workshops, because I did not want these to be just another Zoom meeting, right? Because we had enough of those already. And certainly I didn't want to have something that was tedious and tiring and, you know, all those kind of things. So we're going, okay, how can we bring the physical experience to the online experience? And that's what the goal was. And I think that is what we have accomplished, because we have done a number of these online events. So what are some of those things? Well, first of all, the personal experience is super important for me. You know that. That's always been a cornerstone of our physical workshops, and it's a cornerstone of our online events. How do you do that? Interestingly enough, you have to keep the numbers small for an online event, just like you do for a physical event. And the numbers aren't that much different. For a physical event, I like to keep it to 8. 8 seems to be the magic number for those interactions that work really well. For the online events, 10 to 12. Not that much bigger than the physical workshops, interestingly enough. And I think that's because discussion dynamics, if done properly, are about the same physically or online. If you have too many people in a Zoom chat room, some folks aren't going to talk because other folks are talking and, you know, they just don't want to push their way to the front of the mic. So I understand that. So if we keep the numbers down, if I moderate the conversation, then guess what? Everyone gets to share. Everyone gets to have a good time. So the numbers thing have been very important. And that's why we have limited numbers for our online workshops, to keep that same dynamic that we have with the physical workshops. Another thing that I think is really important is that people can share their experience, share their discussions about why they did what they did for these pictures, and, you know, what worked for them, what didn't work for them, and then let other people share their thoughts, so that we can really create this dynamic conversation that is so much fun. It's like sitting around the table in your favorite restaurant with your favorite beverage, no matter what it may be, and just talking shop. That's what I want to do. I want to talk shop. And whether we're in physical setting or we're in a virtual setting, talking shop is super important. And it's one of the things that we have in the online series as well. And then a lot of the other goodies in terms of how you break up the teaching, how other people in the workshop end up contributing to the knowledge base. You know, all that sort of stuff needs to be integrated as well in a friendly, safe environment that is stimulating. And at the end of it, you feel like, you know what, I'm going to take better pictures than I did a month ago. That's what we wanted to bring in. I think that's what we have succeeded in doing. So now I keep all of this in mind when I'm designing our workshops for the next 12 months, because the super big advantage of the online workshops is that they cost less. They cost less for you. You don't have to travel. You don't have to buy meals. You don't have to get a hotel. And the tuition is less because they cost less to run. All right. So that is really cool. So now that opens the door for more people to participate. And maybe you'll do something like participate in one or two online workshops and then a physical one that we have on the schedule, let's say in 2022, grabs you and you go, now I want to do a physical one as well. Or you may always just do online, or if online isn't your thing, you can do physical. We have all of that now, but having that mix allows more people to participate regardless of what your budget is, regardless of how much time you can dedicate, you know, regardless of basically any personal circumstance. If you can log on to Zoom and if you can log on to our online website, you can join us. It's that simple. So let's talk about some of these workshops that we have coming up. And again, all of this is listed on the workshops page, thenimblephotographer.com. And just go there and you'll see the workshops link. Okay, here we go. First one, this is for August because we're already booked for our June-July workshop, Ultimate Black and White. That one's already booked and actually starts this Wednesday. So we're going to pick up here on the workshop page in August. First one in August, Mastering Capture One Pro. People have been asking me for this online workshop. Now we're going to do it. And this is a great time to do it because Capture One Pro 21 is just an outstanding application. It has evolved to the point where I think it has the features that we want, the features that we need. You can get your head around them, and you can especially get your head around them if you have someone give you a jump start. That's what this workshop will be. 4 sessions. They'll be on Wednesdays, and you can either attend the AM session or the PM session, or you can attend them both if you want, but there'll be AM and PM sessions. They're only an hour long. There's lots of stuff to do in between, and you have access to Derek's story online, not only for this workshop, but forever thereafter. So that was the first one in August, Mastering Capture One Pro. Second one in September, Turbocharge Your Workflow with On1 Effects. The reason why I like On1 Effects is because it works with everything. Now, Capture One Pro is terrific because it works on Mac and Windows both. We love that. On1 Effects works on Mac and Windows as well, but it can also serve as a plugin for Lightroom, Capture One Pro, and Photos, and a couple more. So not only can you use it as a standalone on both platforms if you want, but you can turbocharge whatever workflow you have going. So you don't have to change libraries. You don't have to migrate images somewhere else to get all of these fantastic editing tools. Just use what you're using. Learn these tools that we're going to teach in this workshop, Turbocharge Your Workflow with On1 Effects. Get more tools, more effects, cool things. And On1 Effects works well with all of these applications. We've been using it in our infrared workshops and people like it. They like it a lot. So that's coming up in September. Again, 4 sessions, an hour a session, lots to do in between. Really good stuff, really good stuff. Now in December, we have something kind of new that we haven't done before. And we already have signups for this one from our Patreon members. Writing for Artists who want to publish. So we're going to do our first writing workshop. And a writing workshop really geared toward visual artists. However, if you're in the business environment and you just want to be more effective in your written communications, this workshop will work well. It's basically a nonfiction writing workshop. A nonfiction writing workshop, that's my specialty. I do write fiction as well, but all my books and all my street cred come from nonfiction writing, and that's what this workshop's going to be about. And imagine how much fun this is going to be to have 10 people sitting around the Zoom chat room who are writers or who are perfecting their writing, and we're sharing writing instead of pictures. We have writing assignments. I have lots to share with you. I have so much to teach, and we're going to learn from each other as well. And December, isn't December the perfect time of year to do a writing workshop? Absolutely, absolutely. So that is coming up in December, writing for artists who want to publish. Then in November, well, which is actually a month back, but I'm going to talk about three physical workshops right now. So we have the Oregon Coast in November. That one sold out for 2021, but I anticipate that we're going to run it again in 2022, later in the year. So if you missed out on the first one, or if you're on the wait list, I think we're going to offer it again next year. So stay tuned for that. And then in April of 2022, we're going to do the Humboldt Redwoods. We had to postpone it before. I was really disappointed because when we did the first workshop there, it was fantastic and people loved it. We're going back to the Humboldt Redwoods in April of 2022. And then in July of 2022, we're going to do Lassen Volcanic Park. And that one was also postponed. We were supposed to do it last year, but we had to postpone it because of the pandemic. So we're going to go to Lassen Volcanic Park. And we're also going to do all sorts of things, like go to Burney Falls. I mean, this is going to be a fantastic workshop. By the way, I have the workshop scheduled so that there's very little moon. It's just a crescent, and it's a waning crescent at that. So, you know, there's going to be nice dark skies. We're going to do night photography. We're going to do wonderful landscape photography. We're going to visit the magical Burney Falls. This is going to be a terrific event. That is in July 2022. Again, all of these are on the workshops page. So you can sign up for the online workshops right now, and you can place a $100 deposit for the physical workshops, the Humboldt Redwoods and the Lassen Volcanic Park. All right, let's go back to online workshops now. January 2022. Okay, we've got more stuff. We're going to come back to Capture One Pro in January of 2022. The reason being that we're coming back to it is because the iPad version of Capture One Pro ought to be available in January, which means then not only do we talk about Capture One Pro on your computer, on your Mac or your PC, but we can also talk about using it on an iPad and integrating that into your workflow. That's going to be very, very exciting. And again, that is in January 2022. And then in May 2022, we're coming back to infrared photography. And this workshop, we've run a couple of them now. They are so much fun. And I wanted to wait until the time of year when there was sun in most places so that you could really work, because infrared photography just shines, pun intended, in bright sun, warm summer days. You know, this will be late spring, so hopefully there'll be some clouds in the sky, which are very nice. I think the timing for those north of the equator is very good for this workshop. May 2022, we're going back to infrared. And then in August of 2022, we're going to do the ultimate black and white photography workshop again. Again, I think August is a great time of year to do this event. And nice summer, long days, get out there, you know, do a little street photography, do a little urban photography, explore your neighborhood at different hours in the day. You have lots of light to work with. Ultimate black and white photography workshop coming around again in August of 2022. Now, there's going to be more events in the second half of 2022, but I think for now, We have enough here to keep us busy. So just to recap, starting in this August 2021, mastering Capture One Pro, and then we'll do turbocharge your workflow with On One Effects, and then we'll roll into the writing for artists who want to publish in December. I'll be at the Oregon Coast in November with that sold-out workshop, and then I've opened up Humboldt Redwoods for April of 2022, Lassen for July of 2022, Capture One Pro again in January 2022, Infrared Photography in May 2022, and Ultimate Black and White in August of 2022. So much fun. This is going to be terrific. So go to the workshops page, peruse. Like I said, you can sign up for stuff. I wanted to push things out. You know, we've been doing shorter lead time for the workshops, mainly because there's been so much uncertainty in, you know, when we could do things. Now I'm feeling pretty confident that all of this will play out nicely. So I think you can have confidence in signing up for anything that's on the workshops page. I'm going to keep adding to it. I'm very excited about all of this. I hope to see you. I hope to see you at one of these workshops. Also, I ran an article on the Digital Story on Sunday that covers this upcoming 12 months of workshops. And one of the reasons why you might want to go over and take a look at that is that I have quotes from people who have joined us in the workshops, in the online workshops, over the past few months. And those quotes are very illuminating. And these are from fellow community members. You know, these are your peers in these quotes. You might want to take a look at them and, you know, see some of the things they say. That will also help give you a feel for how enjoyable these are. I hope you can join us for one of these events over the next 12 months. I myself cannot wait. I have an interesting piece for you right now. Inner Circle members pump the brakes on podcast sound effects. This is going to be a fun piece. You're going to enjoy this. So, you know, last week, if you listened to last week's show or the week before, I have been, you know, sort of learning how to use this new interface. It has all sorts of functions that I didn't have before. I've been playing with them. And one of the things I was toying with was using some sound effects. And you heard that last week. I had some audience applause and I had some canned laughter. And I thought, okay, if I just use it a little bit, it might spice up the show a little bit. But I also am smart enough to know, after doing nearly 800 podcasts, and that's just for Digital Story, it's not all the other ones I've done, that I need to make sure that what sounds cool or fun in my mind also works for people listening. So I said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to run a poll on the Inner Circle because that's what these folks are here for. They are our board of directors. And I thought, okay, I better make sure that what I think is fun, they think is fun as well. Well, as I suspected, once I thought about it, they didn't think it was quite as fun as I did. Alrighty. So I just want to tell you some of the feedback that we got here from our Inner Circle members. And by the way, thank you, Inner Circle members, for helping to steer the ship in the right direction. So I'm just going to read you some stuff here. Here's what I wrote. If you were mildly annoyed by the canned audience applause and laughter last week, you were not alone. In a recent poll of Inner Circle members, here's how it shook out. 60% of our Inner Circle members voted to eliminate the sound effects. Okay, 60% voted to eliminate them. One of the quotes was, I prefer the velvet tones of your voice without the sound effects. You have a fantastic radio voice with lots of warmth, humor, and inflection. In other words, stick to that. Stick to the velvet tones of your voice and forget about the laughter, forget about the applause and all that other stuff. So 60% of the Inner Circle members cast their ballot for that. Now, 20% thought they were fun, but to use with great restraint. 20% thought fun, but great restraint. And here's one of the quotes from that. Very occasional use of sound effects might be okay. For instance, applause to announce a new workshop or release of an anticipated camera or lens. But if you're doing it more than a few times a year, it's probably too much. And I was fine with that, you know, just restraint approach, more than a few times a year. I was thinking just a few times a show. I was thinking a few times a show. And they're going, no. We're talking few times a year. All right. So even though 20% thought it was okay with restraint, their definition of restraint is a little different than mine. Okay. They're far more restrained, quite honestly. And then finally, 20% thought it was okay to sprinkle the effects throughout the show. So we did get 20% who liked it. And the quote from that I picked was, sprinkling in sound effects can be entertaining on a limited basis. You notice they still put that condition on it. Kind of reminds me of old-time radio shows. All right. So that was cool. Unfortunately, that was only 20%. So I promise to try to be more behaved moving forward. Thanks to our Inner Circle members for helping keep the show on track and moving in the right direction. I applaud you right now, but without the sound effects. Peak Design's latest camera bag is barely big enough for a camera. You can read this entire post on Digital Camera World. And this is a new bag. It's called the Field Pouch version 2. Some of you might have the Field Pouch version 1. They just released, Peak Design did, the Field Pouch version 2. And generally speaking, this is of interest to nimble photographers because it is highly nimble and very functional. Let me read you, though, what Digital Camera World said about it. Meet the Field Pouch 2, an ultra-compact camera bag for when you want to travel really, really light. Peak Design, renowned for its innovative and high-quality camera bags, has introduced the second incarnation of its Peak Design Field Pouch. The Field Pouch version 2 is an ultra-compact camera pouch designed to carry daily essentials like your phone, notebook, spare batteries, and a couple of filters, ideal for summer weather when you'd rather not store such items in a coat. A compact camera or a small mirrorless body with an attached pancake lens could fit inside, while a larger camera can be mounted to the outside of the Field Pouch 2 via Peak Design's Capture Clip Quick Release Camera Clip Attachment, sold separately. So if you want to have something bigger than, let's say, the X100V, the Fujifilm X100V, you have to clip it to the outside. The pictures I saw of cameras clipped to the outside did not make me excited at all. Okay, I'm just saying that right now. All right, coming back. The bag features two clip mounting points along with the improved pocket layout over the original Field Pouch. All fabrics are recycled, including the soft felt interior lining and waterproof 400D external nylon. A clever roll top flap opening enables quick access to your kit. Plus, it also allows the bag to expand up to double its minimum volume, so you can choose to carry more gear or alternatively, eliminate unused space. Inside, there are 8 stretch pockets, zip pockets, stretchy cords to keep smaller items in place and organized. An included strap enables you to carry the bag on your shoulder or as a sling. But the Field Pouch 2 version 2 is also designed to be used as a secondary bag within a larger backpack so you can organize smaller items and stop them rattling around, potentially damaging camera or lenses. It's available now in the U.S. for $44.95. I'll put a link to it on B&H at the end of this post here. So I was attracted to this when Peak sent me the, you know, preliminary release notice on it, because it is very nimble. And, you know, there is that thing, you know, during winter, we have coats with pockets and stuff. And so it's much easier to carry your compact camera or to carry a few accessories in your coat. You don't have to have an extra bag. You can just go about your business. Summertime, we don't have those coats. We don't have all those pockets. Maybe we have cargo shorts on with some extra pockets, but carrying a camera around in the bottom pocket of cargo shorts, at least for me, isn't the greatest thing. It's a little too low, and I kind of feel it banging around on my leg too much. So a small, nimble, well-designed bag is of interest, but it depends on how small. And so this is something that, if you like it, is very stylish, is very nicely designed. Of course, it's Peak Design. They do a great job. But just make sure that this nimble little bag is big enough for what you want to carry around. If it is, I think you might dig it. And the price isn't bad at all. $45 for a Peak Design product. Pretty slick. Alrighty, so there it is. I'll leave it up to you from here. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club business. I have a few things to mention. I want to remind you that the Capture One Pro 21 Essential Training is out on LinkedIn Learning. It's a very nice series of movies to help you learn not only Capture One Pro 21, but get the most out of the application itself. If you're a LinkedIn Learning member, you can access it right now, and they make it very easy to join LinkedIn Learning, and they have a free trial. So if you want to really see these movies, maybe prep for the workshop a little bit, these movies are available right now at LinkedIn Learning. Don't forget about the donation kit for donating cameras to the film camera shop. If you find a film camera around the house, or if you inherit one, or if Uncle Bob says, "Do you know anyone that might want this?" Bless you, Uncle Bob. Then you can say, "I do," and he'll even send me the box and the prepaid label. And all I have to do is tape it up and send it back to him. Won't cost me a penny, won't cost Uncle Bob a penny. If you have a camera that indeed is worthy of being in the film camera shop, or a lens, or any accessories, just use the contact form on thenimblephotographer.com. Let me know what you have, and we'll take it from there. If it's something that I think will fly in the shop, I'll send you a donation kit, and we can get that gear back into the hands of people who will use it and just love the heck out of it. A big thanks to all of our Inner Circle members, not only for their monthly financial contributions to this community, $5 a month to be an Inner Circle member, but also for sharing their insights, for helping keep this ship sailing in the right direction. Just so many nice things about this group, so many nice things about this site. At some point, I hope you too become an Inner Circle member and join this talented group of artists who are committed to keeping this community alive and healthy. If so, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Take a look at the site, see what you think, and hopefully you'll join us. My latest article on Medium.com is Why I Never Warmed Up to Photoshop. Yes, Why I Never Warmed Up to Photoshop. It's a fun piece. There's a lot of confession in that piece, and I think you will enjoy it. If you want to read it, all you have to do is go to medium.com, search for Derek's story. My author's page will come up. That'll be the first article, but there's lots of other good stuff. You can check it out. You can check out the other articles. If you like them, then I hope maybe you'll follow me, because I publish at least two of those a month. That's writing that I value a lot, and I work very hard to make sure that is the best writing that I can do. And hopefully you will enjoy it as well. And finally, a huge thanks to our friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. This is where you go for your inkjet printing needs. This is where you get your paper. This is where you get your ink. You get knowledge, you get reviews, basically anything you need around inkjet printing, except for the printer itself. That one you got to come up with on your own. But everything except the printer you can get at redriverpaper.com. They're fantastic people, and they are so committed to the inkjet printing community. And quite frankly, I don't know where I'd be without them. I'd be lost. And I'm not just talking about the sponsorship. I'm talking about as someone who loves printing. You can check them out by clicking on the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Or you can go to their Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show, sans sound effects. I'll be back next week with more interesting topics. Come and join me then next Tuesday. Until then, stay safe, be creative. Bye-bye now.